It's great to have you back today, and if you've been listening all week, then you know I'm sharing with you a fictional story that I've written that deals with being thankful to God. And since tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, I thought it appropriate to share this with you. I'll reread for you a little of what I read yesterday to refresh your memory and to welcome new listeners, and then read on from there. To catch the full story, you can always download this week's podcasts. So our story continues now. This is part three. I've spent so much time journaling, just getting my thoughts out on paper. For a couple of weeks now, I've been trying to work through just how I can be so steady and consistent in my belief in God while I simultaneously process all that's happened to us. Or is it all that's happened to me? Many nights I have thought of all those Christians through the years that I'd seen on television. You know the type. There they were, cruising along in life, faith in God, never missing a Sunday at church, most times some sort of spiritual leader, either in their family or church or Sunday school. Typical Americans, too. Kids in school, family vacations, when dad and mom finally got 2 weeks off. House, car, a pet. Bible readers, they gave their bedtime prayers. Tithing when the offering bags came along, and one year even switching out a family vacation for a mission trip. And then one day, while minding their own business, out of nowhere, tragedy strikes. I remember one such story I watched. The teenage son of this couple was driving home from a high school prom when a drunk driver came careening down the opposite side of the road, crossed the double yellow line, and slammed full speed ahead into their son. Kid died instantly. And yet only like a month later, here was his mom and dad, arm in arm, fighting back tears as they looked into the camera and in a very affirming tone told us, "We have such faith in God, and he gives us peace. We know our son is with him now, and one day we will see him again." And I distinctly remember saying out loud even, "Really? I mean, how could that be? Their son was dead. Dead. And what's worse is that a drunk driver killed him. Of course, the drunk lived." And then I felt ashamed for doubting them because I was sitting here sharing their same faith in God, the same faith these two parents had. Even though I felt I had no right to question their belief in the middle of such loss, I still went to bed that night wondering how genuine and persevering faith could be when a 17-year-old went to the grave instead of to college. And yet here I am by the light of my desk lamp writing a prayer to God about how grateful I am to him for loving me, comforting me, and giving me guidance as I try to make sense of my faith in light of my own tragedy. I really do feel God's presence when I'm in here, but I also know that definitely my family doubts it. They think I'm just putting up a good front, denying my hurt and sadness and anger. And so I ask myself, a lot. Is that what I am doing? Am I covering for God? Am I letting God off the hook? A good friend even suggested I see a counselor and quote, "Let all that pain you must have find a way up and out," unquote. Then he told me the story of this one shrink he saw who pulled out a pillow and a pair of scissors, and he handed the scissors to my friend and said, "I want you to imagine that this pillow is the person who hurt you in your childhood. Now, using the scissors, do to the pillow what you really want to do to that person." Apparently, my friend reached for the scissors, held them up like a knife, and started jabbing them into the pillow. Just a few times at first, but then, gaining momentum, he let all his rage come out. And when he was done, the psychologist was left with an office full of feathers. The pillow was shattered, destroyed beyond recognition. He referred me to such a shrink and said, "Please go. Stop suppressing your sadness." He was so animated when he told me this story that I remember thinking, "I'm not sure you got rid of all your anger on that pillow." But I did come home, right into this chair, and I asked myself, am I suppressing my sadness? But when I leafed back through the pages of my journal and reread some of the prayers, I realized something that I still believe to be true. It wasn't that I didn't feel anger, or sadness, or despair, and it wasn't that I didn't point at least some of that to God. But what I did was to pour out my heart to the journal. And I guess by doing that, by getting out what I was feeling, it made me feel better. Maybe I can put it this way. It's like the Lord took that off the printed page. He shredded it somewhere so that I would feel comfort, peace, and gratefulness that despite my circumstances, he was there. Nevertheless, I do face a serious dilemma. My wife is furious with me. She cannot fathom how I can be in here, experience such peace amidst a family that is grieving and appears, certainly to outsiders, to be falling apart. She doesn't talk much to me, but finds little ways of pointing out her frustration. Let's take, for example, what we should do about Thanksgiving tomorrow. I was, and I am, of the opinion that we need to go ahead with the day as planned. I mean, we did do a lot of planning, and there are still over a dozen people coming, and some from all the way across the state. Besides, I think it will be soothing to have our home full again of personalities. This will give us some sense of normalcy, if ever we can be normal again. And none of our guests canceled. What are we supposed to do, just cancel on them on short notice? But my wife doesn't see it this way. She thinks everyone will understand if we just say we can't do it, and they will make other plans. As if we were in the court of law, she even introduced a few pieces of evidence to support her case. This was in the debate that we had after she reluctantly threw her hands in the air and agreed to still host. Sarah, that's our granddaughter, and her dad, that's our now unnamed son-in-law, can always go to his parents' house. Even if it is a longer drive, let him take it. And to further support her argument, I am not making any food. You can forget about your favorite gravy. Great. So now we will be left with a big fat turkey and no gravy. That is what I was thinking, but I did not say it. I learned at a grief share group that I attend alone, she won't come, that different people grieve differently. The facilitator there suggested that while I attend to my journal and pour out my emotions on paper, my wife's way of expressing her sadness is through retreating from the world and expressing her anger privately to me. When she lashes out, I'm supposed to receive this as grief. And I try really hard to do that, but very often I can't help but to feel she's blaming this tragedy on me. Most recently, I've seen what is really ticking her off. She doesn't think I'm sad enough, distraught enough, and that again, I'm just hiding my true feelings to put up a front for God. And every time she mentions the name God, it is said, God. You and God. Don't hide behind God. Well, God isn't here right now. So this woman, who is my wife and whom I love very much, thought we should cancel Thanksgiving. And worse, now I can't speak of God positively. I'm supposed to stop praising and thanking him in front of her. Am I to limit my relationship with him to this here den? Different people grieve in different ways, but this is more than that. To me, this feels like she is trying to rob me of the very relationship that will save me at a time like this, and save her too. Honey, the lifeline you need to pull you back from the ocean of despair is God. How can we fight on in this deep water of loss and not pretend that we're going to be drowned? Now I am out in our dining room, standing at the table where I plan to sit tomorrow. My nose sniffs the aroma pouring out of the kitchen, and it appears that we will have homemade gravy after all. I'm thinking about the seating chart. 15 people, basically all adults, except two teenagers. But the way they dress and act, it's like they're in their late 20s already. I'll sit here and follow the crest of my wife. I'll put her down the other end nearest the kitchen. My parents go to the right of me, and then my sister and her family. And I pause for, well, a very long time and stare at the chair to my left. Rebecca's seat. That girl of mine sat there, right in that exact spot for the last 27 years. From the time she was 3 years old, we put her there every fourth Thursday of November, Thanksgiving Day. What do we do about that seat this year? Leave it empty, like the Jews leaving an empty chair at the Seder supper? or like a solemn reminder of the son that never came home from war? Or do we have someone else sit there? My wife wants our granddaughter down by her, at least for as long as she can sit still. Neither of us wants our son-in-law next to us. Could I put my mom there? She would feel honored, but then she will look out of place. Finally, I decide to just shift the chairs a little bit, giving everyone more elbow room, and slide close family members in next to me on my left. All the other options seemed too morbid. With that, I take one last glance at the table, all perfectly set for this Thanksgiving. I turn off the lights and shuffle over to the front door to make certain it is locked. I do it out of habit, and then I turn towards the stairs and climb one sad step at a time. Who says I do not grieve and mourn? I miss my daughter more than they know. I sit on the edge of the top stair, and the tears come slowly at first, and then I am sobbing. I can hardly breathe. I cry so hard. We'll end the story there today, my friends, but it's to be continued. We'll pick it up tomorrow. If you won't be with us tomorrow at 4:30, then be sure and download the podcast from the WEZE website. You just go to am590theword.com and scroll down to podcast, and when you get to the podcast page, click God Is in the bottom left-hand corner. It's 590amtheword.com. Look for the podcast page and scroll down till you find God Is. But if you are free at 4:30 tomorrow, do not miss a special Thanksgiving Day edition of God Is. And if you're hosting, why not turn on the radio for all your guests to listen with you? Come back tomorrow as we continue this story and as we continue to learn together on Thanksgiving who God is.